So let us begin where we left last Friday, that Shri Krishna is showing Arjuna the impermanence of the body and the permanence of the soul within. This is the beginning of the spiritual life, a life that is lived in a purposeful way. Arjuna's tremendous suffering that made him surrender at the feet of Krishna as his savior, as his teacher, was diagnosed. Before effecting any proper cure, diagnosis is necessary. Without properly understanding the problem, you cannot suggest any cure. So, the first step was to find out what is the mistake, where lies the real problem. The superficial manifestations of a disease are various, and sometimes the similar symptoms can be caused by various different types of disease. So just by looking at the superficial symptoms, one cannot give proper treatment to the patient. So the problem needs to be first understood to effect any real cure. Giving symptomatic relief is one thing, but effecting a radical cure is a different thing. So, superficial cure, yes, one gives, and that is necessary. Not that it is, it should not be given. That is also important. But more important is then to turn attention to cure the person. Like it is important that when there is the fire in the house, then at that time don't think of what is the cause of the fire. First call 911 and get the fire engines to put down the fire. But after the fire is put down, now find out what caused the fire, because otherwise the fire will erupt like this. So it is important now to diagnose that what caused this fire, where was the problem, because you don't want this to happen again and again. And not you cannot say that whenever now there is fire, I will just keep on calling 911. It is the best thing is to prevent the fire. When there is fire, you have no other choice. Yes, call the fire engine. But you cannot say that that is what I am going to do. I am not looking into why the fire was caused. It is so the problems in life manifest as suffering, anguish, anger, and so many other things. Now it is good to treat them on both levels, to provide symptomatic relief. Very good. The person is terribly depressed, despondent, is not able to think. So at that time, to make the person feel better, you can tell, okay, doesn't matter, go and take some rest, take this pill that will make you sleep better, and thus for a time being that problem can be alleviated. And that is what many psychologists revert to. Oh, forget it, don't think about it, just mix with friends, go to parties, take some that pill that will make some sedative medication, and that's about it. So that will cure the problem. But that doesn't affect the cure. It can for some time relieve the symptoms. But you have to go deeper. So Sri Krishna saw that Arjuna's problem is caused by what? That needs to be properly understood, and medication is to be given for that problem. So, what was the problem? There was tremendous suffering. Sri Krishna sees that this problem is because of the tremendous attachment to the world. That whatever you see around you, and as you deal with those things, you get attached to them. And thus, any idea of separation becomes unbearable. So, that becomes cause of sufferings. That is why Buddha said that this is the first noble truth. All is suffering. Every contact is leads to suffering. It some contacts immediately lead to suffering, some later, because they are pleasant, you get attached to it. And after all, because it is contact, it is going to be broken, and thus, when it gets broken, it causes suffering. So, all such contacts, they lead to suffering. So, the attachment to this world becomes tremendous cause for suffering. And why are we attached to this world? Because of our desires. Our desires make us attached to the things around. And why do these desires arise? This is a chain, you know, we have to go to the cause and use our reason for that purpose. Using reason for what is most important to us is wise. The wise person uses one's faculties to bring the best benefits in the life. So what is going to benefit us most is the ultimate welfare, the complete cessation of sufferings, and therefore we should use our reason to find out the cause of suffering. And when you go back to the reason, you understand that why the desires are there. The desires are because we consider this view of I and world as real. Although everything, if we analyze, goes to show that it is unreal. All our experiences show that the scene continuously changes. What we experience is only the change. Our search for knowledge also indicates that it is not real. What we see is not real. Otherwise, why is there the need to search for truth? If what we see is truth, there is no need for anything further deeper than that. Our very desire to know further means what we see is not the full truth. There is something deeper to it. The world taken as such to be real. I am this body and this world around me are the objects. Some I like, some I don't like. And so, I run towards what I like, I run away from what I don't like. So that is the play of desires in our life. So, this is desires are because we consider the world to be real. This is I and this is the world. This is the basic fundamental mistake that we commit. And therefore light of knowledge is to be brought, that really there is no such distinction of I and world. All our life, all actions are based on this understanding, that I and world. Can you draw a line of demarcation between them? You will soon see that it is impossible. Give it a try, friends. Try to find out where I ends and world begins. And you will soon give that attempt up, because it is not possible to draw such a line. And the reason that you cannot draw such a line, because in reality no such distinction exists. There is no such distinction in truth. The one without second, infinite, all-pervading reality. That is, what is the truth? There is no distinctions here. No I and you, no separation. And so any attempt at separation brings sufferings. Any attempt at this creating a divide is going to bring desires in us. What is the desire again? Desire is indicative that we do not like this distinction, I and you. We want oneness. That is, after all, basically the meaning of desire. Desire, say for example, desire for an apple, means you don't like the distinction between you and apple. You want to eat the apple so that now you and apple become one. So, that is the idea behind a desire. So, that oneness is the nature of truth, one without second reality. So now Sri Krishna will gradually bring Arjuna to this fundamental truth. But this is to be given in proper doses. This truth cannot be suddenly given slowly according to what the disciple can accept at what level. It is to be slowly given. The first important distinction that Arjuna is being now shown, that we were discussing last time, and that is the distinction between the body and the self. The body and the indweller of the body. We are not body, but we use the body. The body is being used by us. We are not the body. Just as we use our car, we use our house, similarly we use the body. So our perception that I am body is not the right perception. The perception can be I am using the body. In our language also, sometimes this distinction appears, like I say my hand, not I hand, and nobody says I hand. Similarly, with all parts of the body we will say my. That means it is an instrument. I am separate from this. Like I say my shirt, or my pen, or my car, my house. What does that indicate? That I am a separate entity from these, of which I am user or connected with them in some way. So first let us feel that, like that with the body too. The identification with body is not the truth. We are going away from truth when we consider I am the body. I and body, they are separate. Body is an instrument. So understanding the body as an instrument is very good, but being identified with body causes problems. So therefore, first Sri Krishna has pointed out this to Arjuna, that look, just as in this body itself, the indweller experiences so many states of the body, that one is a child, then becomes a youth, becomes an old person. So nobody is surprised at that. Nobody feels a kind of that, oh, how this child became youth. It is taken for granted that yes, the child has to grow into a youth and a youth into an old person. There is no surprise in that. Similarly, well, change of body, changing the instrument when it becomes old, unusable, you change the instrument. This idea is very important, and this can be understood only when we understand that I am not body. When I am the body, then changing of body, this idea cannot be understood. I am not the body, but the user or the dweller of the body. So then, the changing the body, this concept can be felt and understood. Like you change the house, like you change the cars, even when the car becomes old, non-functional, requires lot of expenses to maintain it, then you say, no point in keeping it anymore, let me buy a new one. Or sometimes, although it was good, not too old, it meets an accident, and then the insurance company totals it, that no, now we won't give you the repairing cost of it, it is more than the cost of the vehicle. So then you change the vehicle. Till then you were feeling that it is the same vehicle, although maybe things were all changed. The body parts were changed, the engine was changed, everything was changed. And then now what is left of the car? Just the idea that this is the same car. Apart from that, nothing of that car is really left, but you feel that it is still the same car. So the whole body is, it is said that in 7 years, every particle of it is completely changed. And yet we feel we are in the same body. It is really not the same. So body is changed. And when it becomes non-functional because of use, because of the passage of time, the parts all get rusted, they do not function anymore. So now you look for another body that you can afford. We will discuss this more in the time to come, this idea that how we choose the body, how the next body is taken, and all those very beautiful ideas. And but let us first feel this. This can be understood only on the background that we are users of the body, we are dwellers of the body, we are not body. Then what is the function of body? Before actually proceeding to this idea of change of body, which Sri Krishna will dwell on in much details later, in this very chapter, he tells that, look, what is this body for then? It is an instrument to take in something. It has the tools to take in the experience in a particular way. So it is fitted with some tools that brings pleasure and pain. But you need not get attached to those things. They are just the sensations, and see them calmly. Like you see the different indicators in your car, that you see an indicator, there is the indicator which shows how much gas is there in the tank, and there is an indicator which shows that how much you are accelerating, and there is at what speed the car is going, there is that indicator also. So many other indicators, battery indicator, this, that, so many are there. So our body also has been fitted with all these. So when you see those indicators, act accordingly, but do not get attached to them. And so it is, this verse is very important verse that we will be discussing now. When I read it, I remember what a wonderful light it brought to my understanding, that it is when you hear something first, then that impact is great. Then later on you read and reread, you never really feel that that sense again. I remember I could not stop thinking of the content of this verse for days together when I first read it. That was more than 30 years back, about 35 years back, I think. I first got to hear this verse and understood the meaning of this. That matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama paino nityan tantitikshasv bharata. Let us, I will read the meaning of this. The matra sparsha, the matra means the measuring instrument, that is the sense organs. Sparsha means touch. They are hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. They come and go. So, O Arjuna, bear them. Just withstand them. Don't get perturbed by them. That is the meaning of this verse. That when you interact while being in the body, you interact through the body with the world. And this interaction goes through various instruments. These instruments, they measure and take in. Two functions, you know, measurement and taking in. Like we have this thermostat here, and also there are this heating system has vents. So, when the temperature, there is a sensor which senses how much the temperature is, and if the temperature is lower than what is required, it indicates, hey, start the furnace. And then the heat is blown into the room, and when it comes to that level, it stops. So, there is a measuring mechanism there. So, we also have the measuring instruments fitted with our body. They are the sense organs. They measure the world. Like our eyes, they measure the form. Eyes measure the form. Here, the ears measure the sound. The sense of touch measures the temperature, soft, hard, and those things. The sense of smell measures the different quality, variety of smells. The sense of taste measures the different taste sensations. So, you measure with this. Understand through these instruments the different things, qualitatively as well as quantitatively, and then take in appropriate things. So the world should not be just taken in as it comes, but by sensing what is right and what is not right, take it in. That is a skill that we have to develop. Not that whatever we see has to be taken in by the eyes. You see what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. If something is appropriate for your mind, take it in. If something is not appropriate, leave it out. Eyes only show you, you know, that what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to take it in from the eyes. We have this problem because we, and that is another topic that will come again and again in Bhagavad Gita, that our sense organs are, they provide the sensations and the inputs to let you know that what is right, what is not right for you. And you really have the freedom to reject what is not right for you. But we do not use this freedom. We let everything that is seen come into the mind. And thus the mind becomes a big trash can. Because we do not reject what is going to be bad for the mind. Just as whatever is seen, if we try to swallow it, what will happen to our digestion system, stomach? It will be gone, you see. So, therefore, we eat according to requirement, at least should. If we don't do that, it is. We suffer because of that if we know that I should not eat this and yet eat. So, similarly, what I should see and what I should not see, by that you should control the intake of all from all the sense organs. That is why they are fitted. They are the measuring instruments. They are called matra. And Shankara comments on this that miyate anena iti matra means they are tools for measurement. They tell you how something is like by your eyes. You'll know whether something is big, how big, how small, how far, how near, what shape, what color. All these measurements are taken by the instrument called eyes. By ears, you know similar characteristics about sound. So these are all measuring instruments. And also, after measuring, if you decide that it is right to take them in, you can then take them in or leave them out. This freedom we actually have, but we have forgotten to use this. And therefore, we take in many times what should be better left out, and forget to take it in that which is really beneficial for us. So let us use these sense organs. And we will get an opportunity to discuss this more later. But here Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that this is what the body does. It senses the world through these instruments and then tells you the sensations are of this type, that shitoshna sukha dukkhada. There are pairs of opposite, that hot and cold. Hot and cold is only in regard of the touch of sense, but you can extend it that it is just a symbology. It is the pair of opposite, like the eyes, in terms of sight, it will be bright and dark. It is all the play. Our vision means it is a play of brightness and darkness. So different levels of brightness and darkness, they create pictures for us. So in case of touch, it is hot and cold. In case of eyes, it is dark and bright. In case of the sense of, say, hearing, it will be similar something. In case of taste also, it will be something similar. And then again, they are pleasant and unpleasant. It is not always that the hot is pleasant and cold is unpleasant, or the vice versa. The hot can be pleasant in some situations, cold can be pleasant in some other situations. Many think that it is so, it will be so pleasant when in the months of winter the temperature goes to 60, we become happy, wow, it is such a warm, nice day. And in the days of summer, we feel that it should, when it is cooler, we feel better. So it is, the hot and cold is not automatically associated with pleasure and pain. Sometimes hot appears to be pleasant, people like to take hot bagel right from the oven. This is very nice, hot. So you like the those things hot, but you won't like hot ice cream. You see, it will not go well with the. So certain things are liked hot better. Certain things are liked cold better. It is sometimes you like the warm treatment. The word better. This is you give warm greetings, warm treatment. And give the cold shoulder is not considered good. So all these hot and cold again, it is not always decided what is pleasant and what is unpleasant. But they give these kinds of sensations. Every sensation appeals to us either as hot or cold. I mean the intensities. They differ, and again, they are either pleasant or unpleasant or a mixture of both. And the fun is, what is the hot, what is the pleasant sensation today? The same touch, the same kind of object will give or may give unpleasant sensation at some other time. It is not very fixed that a particular sensation will always be pleasant. Sometimes it will be pleasant, the same sensation at some other time will be very unpleasant. Like in case of music, it is experienced that this example is very nice, that those lovers of music, they like to hear music and feel very nice about it. But suppose you are listening to music continuously for say 6 hours. Now you don't like to hear it anymore. That which used to give pain an hour ago, used to give pleasure an hour ago, now feels painful. Similarly, in different combinations, a particular note in a particular combination was very nice. It created a melody, a very nice melody. But the same note played in other combination may sound very harsh, so not pleasant. So although the same thing in different contexts becomes pleasant or painful, it is therefore, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that these pleasant and painful sensations will come in life. You just bear with it, withstand it. You don't get swayed by that. If something is pleasant, doesn't mean you have to run after it. If something is painful again, doesn't mean you have to run away from it either. It may be that it is painful, but it is going to do good to you. It is like the surgeon's knife may appear very painful, but it may do good to you. A medication may test in this earlier times, the medications were all used to taste very bitter. Now somehow they make them taste sweet, but they used to taste very bad and bitter. So one would not like to take them, but it is, although not pleasant, one should take it. It is like that, that pleasant doesn't mean that you should run after it, and unpleasant also doesn't mean you should run away from it. Unpleasant may be good for you sometimes, and pleasant may be bad for you sometimes. So the criterion for judging should be what is going to be better for me, rather than just what is pleasant and what is unpleasant. That Sri Krishna tells, just bear with that. Just withstand that calmly. Pleasant sensations will come and unpleasant sensations also will come in life. Be detached. These are just measurements. You should not go because you should not be emotionally attached to those. Just as you see the different measurements in laboratory, you see the different measurements of different things. Just look at them like that, that this body is measuring these things. And don't worry about that. Take judicious decisions without getting swayed by the pleasant and unpleasant sensations that it produces. This is a great lesson in life, to know that these sensations will come and will go. The sensations do not remain. The sensations come and sensations go. Even the unpleasant sensation also goes away. In fact, it doesn't remain unpleasant anymore. One soldier was giving the experience in those war-torn some places in Iraq, where everything was in disorder. People were have been dying. The thing place was stinking with the rotting these bodies and all. So first he said it was unbearable. The smell was terrible. I couldn't. I felt that I will die because of this terrible smell itself. Nobody needs to shoot me with bullet. The smell seems to be enough to kill me. Later on, he said that he got used to that smell. It stopped bothering him anymore. Afterwards, he started missing it. He wrote in his memories that afterwards he started missing that smell. That is what happens. Sri Ramakrishna told that story of that fisherwoman, that she used to sell the fish in the basket, and after one day what happened when she sold her fish, it was getting late for her to go back to her village, and while so walking it got dark, and she therefore decided to request somebody in that village to give her shelter for the night. And she was welcome, and as she was given a bed to sleep in, it was a nice bed. The thing was that the one whose house she was staying, her business, she was a flower lady. So the house was filled with flowers. Nice smell actually. All the fragrant flowers were there. But this lady could not sleep. Kept on tossing from one side to another, changing sides. And why was she not able to sleep? Ultimately she thought that this is probably the reason. So she got her that fish basket, sprinkled some water on it, and then put her head in it, and then she was snoring in a minute, you see. So because that was the pleasant smell for her, So, for some people like me, if there is some fish around, maybe I will find it very difficult to sleep. So, it depends, you know, what is you are used to, what you are not used to. So, don't get swayed by these things. That is the great message. These things will come, these things will go. What you are not used to, a particular type of rice, parboiled rice. When I first went to Belur Math, they used to give the rice cooked by that parboiled rice. And although it is considered good for health, good for digestion, yet it has a funny smell associated with it. And I couldn't eat, you know, it was very troublesome. I used to have that sensation of throwing up. So, what to do? But I got used to it slowly, after a month or so. And then, when the other rice, the ordinary white rice was being served, I wouldn't like it. Hey, where is that? Today, why did you not make that parboiled rice? You start liking it. So, it is like that, that certain things that you get used to them. So, learn to withstand all these things. The onslaught of the sensations should not unsettle you. It is, I will read a passage from Swami Ranganathananji's commentary on this verse. In fact, Sri Krishna will repeat this idea throughout this book. Strength of mind and control of the sensory system are very important for any decent human beings. We all want to be decent, is it not? So, what will make us decent is to learn to control our senses. Virtue and morality cannot thrive without this kind of self-discipline. In normal life, difficulties come. If you can bear a little, probably things would be better a little later. When you swim in the ocean, the waves come and buffet you, dash against you. So when the waves come, duck underneath, and as it goes away, you come up again. That is the way to deal with the waves. They come and go. They are not always there, so you can always have the capacity developed to swim against the waves by this method. So this concept of tan titikshasva, bear with them, because they are not always there, they come, anitya, they are not permanent. These things come and go in life. If a little strength is there, one can say, I shall withstand it, I shall overcome it. That is called tremendous faith in oneself. This tremendous faith in oneself, that is the source of all progress. Faith in God is really secondary. You may believe God, you may not believe in God. That won't make a much difference. But faith in oneself, that is the most important thing. We ought to have the faith in oneself. That can move mountains. Some faith in some God sitting in some heaven, who believes really? It is not easy to believe that. We may just nod, give our consent so that people will not call us atheists. But do we really believe? Had we really believed, our lives would have been very different. We just pay the verbal service. Yes, yes, I believe in God. Why? How do you know that you believe in God? Well, I go on Sundays to church or I come to Vedanta Society and pray. What does it mean? You do it not because you believe in, but for various other reasons too. Do you really believe in some God sitting somewhere? We have not seen that, and therefore it is not easy to believe. But what is, we all inherently believe, and that belief is the starting point of all this inquiry, is the belief in oneself. I am. I am. Have faith in oneself. Yes, I can withstand this. I can bear this. I choose what I should take and what I should not take. I can achieve the highest goal of human life. It is this kind of self-confidence that is very necessary. And this is important for spiritual progress and for secular progress also. That yes, I can do it. Tell yourself always, yes, I can do it. Because that is the truth. It is not offering some kind of placebo or consolation. It is the truth that you can do it. How can I live without electricity? Did electricity made human beings or human beings made electricity? We become so depressed that, the gas prices have gone up as if I am going to die because of that. Well, they have gone up. Centuries back there was no such thing like gas and still human beings survived. We dug out the oil from the earth, not that oil made us. It is the all values get just perverted if we lose self-confidence. These situations should not govern us. We are the governors of these situations. We are prior to them. And that is the self-confidence. Yes, I can handle it. What does it matter? I can handle it. Then you can win. If there is no self-confidence, you are bound to lose. Even though you may be strong, but you are bound to lose. I had told you one incident earlier some time back. Let me recall it in this context, that we had a very strong bodybuilder. He used to work at our center in Nagpur. And very strong, every morning he used to do 1,000 push-ups as his daily exercise. A very strong man. And once it so happened that we had to clean our well, and the professional people, the well was quite deep inside. And those people, they said that, well, we will clean, but we will take so much money. And I thought that they are asking something exorbitant. I said, well, I think you are asking a bit too much. And they said, let us do the work. And if then you think that it was exorbitant, if you think that somebody can do it, then let them try that. We won't mind them. And then they cleaned the well. They were going down and then coming up like that. It was a deep well. They finished the work really very quickly, in just about half an hour. Then I said, oh, it's a huge amount you asked for this, just half an hour of work. And they said, well, can anybody just, we don't say, any of you can just go in the well and come up and show us that. And then we will not charge a penny. Just go in and come out. And this man, this strong man, he said, oh, I can do that. I will do it. And then he got down and started. Going down was easy. Usually going down is easy. In life also, going down comes automatically. Nobody has to exert, you know. How to spoil character, you don't have the courses required for to be taken for that. It comes automatically. So the fellow went down. And afterwards, with the rope, he started climbing. It was this steep, plain walls of the well. Not easy to climb. But he started holding the rope. And these men, Although they knew that they will lose the money if he really comes up, they started encouraging him. Hey, good, good, come on, come on. And at one stage, this man tried and then got this, slipped the hold of the rope and again went down and then lost confidence. Then he started again, but this the man those people who did the work, they told me, now he cannot, because the reason is he has lost self-confidence. Otherwise he could have done, he has the strength, but because he has lost the self-confidence, now he cannot do it. He has lost this self-confidence. They were experts, they have seen many such cases. They were not offering all the money for nothing. They knew that it is so mind-boggling that when you look up and you have to climb all that distance, your chest kind of loses all the energy that you felt earlier. So, and this fellow lost self-confidence, he couldn't come up. He gave try, and after every try, this man who could easily and do 1,000 push-ups every morning, this fellow, all physical strength intact, nothing happened to his body, was a psychological wreck. Couldn't really, he got into tears, all sweat, all nervousness, a bundle of nerves. Couldn't do anything. So, then a couple of those people, they went down and just pulled him up. And then I didn't utter a word. Whatever money they had asked, I just gave them. Plus, I was happy that they did not charge for the education. That they gave. The education that I received from that incident was great, that the real winner is self-confidence. Have the self-confidence and you win. Lose the self-confidence and you lose. The other strength is not that important. Your body is strong. Well, it is not that important whether you have a very strong physique or a weak physique. The mind should be filled with this self-confidence. Yes, I can. And each of us then can do great wonders in life. I have seen so many people, friends. You cannot make me believe otherwise. I have seen so many cases, such psychological wrecks. Mind filled with this elixir of self-confidence. Yes, you are divine. You have all strength in you. Call forth that strength. And such persons, they transform their lives. They become not only blessings to themselves, blessing to the society around them. So, Sri Krishna is telling him, have the self-confidence. You can bear all these things. The pleasant, unpleasant situations. Don't worry about those things. Be confidently going on towards the cherished goal of life. Don't swayed by the pleasures and pains. This is the test of how much human we are, that how much we can withstand the onslaughts of pleasure and pain in life. These pleasures and pains will come, and the only way to overcome that is practicing forbearance. Know that they come and then they go. They come and then they go. This is the only thing one can do to overcome pleasures and pains in life. Pleasure is a big danger, because that is how you get caught into misery and sufferings. You run, the pleasant drags you, imprisons you, and then the pain begins. Every pleasure is a bait, and which catches you, imprisons you, and ultimately you have to suffer because of that. So pain and pleasure is something that you need to judge. Don't run after pleasant things. Don't run away from the pain. Judge that what is right and what is not right, and take in accordingly. Just as when you go to, say, shops, the wise people do not buy just by looking at the pleasant colors. In the shops they paint everything so nicely that you feel everything you have to buy. But then if you do that, you know what a terrible suffering it will be. It is there, you use your wisdom, what I need, what I don't need. So if you know that you don't need it, however pleasant it may be, however nice looking it may be, you will not buy it. So similarly in the world, the pleasant experience, don't run after it just because it is pleasant. Painful experience, don't run away from it just because it is painful. See its worth. See it, whether it is going to do good to you or not, and act accordingly. So this is the message of this great verse. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada. I repeat this verse even now when the situations come like that, painful situations, difficult situations. Think of them and repeat this verse. Think of this verse and it brings all the strength back. Yes, let me withstand this. So, we'll continue the discussion. Any question? So let us... Oh, you have one? Okay. Yes, the habit forming is to be done like this. I will form the habit of judging and taking in. Let us do the habit forming like this instead of being attached or glued to the habit of having one substance. That is called substance abuse, you see. It is... because you get habituated to that. It is, make the habit of judging the things on their merit, whether they are going to be beneficial to you or not. This also is a habit, good to cultivate this habit. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।